We're breezing with Mr. George Benson. All right, so we're taking a look at hot drinks and cancer. Or I should say very hot drinks and cancer. While the review drew some positive conclusions about coffee intake, it also concluded that consuming very hot beverages is probably carcinogenic to humans. Now, let's get down to the numbers, the temperature. The researchers found that drinking any beverage at a temperature of 149 degrees Fahrenheit or 65 degrees Celsius or higher may raise the risk of esophageal cancer, which is a form of cancer that begins in the esophagus, the muscular tube that links the throat to the stomach. And what was that temperature? 149 degrees or higher. 149 degrees Fahrenheit or higher. The team notes that in certain countries in South America, such as Argentina, Uruguay, and Paraguay, it's common practice to consume yerba mate at temperatures between 150 to 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Or for those of you on the metric system, 66 to 100 degrees Celsius. 150, I know some of you were probably thinking, 149 degrees Fahrenheit, who's going to drink anything that hot? Well, different strokes, right? So there are people who drink stuff show enough hot. I mean, show enough hot. 149 degrees Fahrenheit. Drinking some of this stuff up to 212 degrees Fahrenheit. Interestingly, these countries also have high rates of esophageal cancer, and the reasons have not been well understood. But the new review suggests that drinking very hot beverages may play a role, especially after finding no association between consuming cold or warm yerba mate and increased cancer risk. I'm telling you, some things we can do, but we probably shouldn't, even though we can. And I'm kind of thinking, there are people who can drink beverages that are 200 degrees Fahrenheit, but should they? I know I'm not going to try it. 200 degrees, 212 degrees, some of them. So Dr. Stern adds that there is physical evidence that very hot beverages can damage the cells that line the esophagus. I believe that. I'm going to tell you. There are different types of heat, right? Different types of hot. And I'm just talking about when it comes to what we consume. I'm not thinking so much about the sun or the stove. Those are different types of hot, too. But I'm just thinking about when it comes to hot that we consume. How many of you have ever eaten or drank, what do they call that? That real spicy type of vinegar. I've forgotten what they call that, some kind of vinegar. That stuff can be hard on the throat. How about alcohol? How about red hot spicy peppers? I mean red hot, the kind that burn your fingers just handling them. And then, of course, there's hot sauce, Tabasco sauce, and there's hot tea. Those are different kinds of hot, but hot nevertheless. It seems like when something is just causing too much of a burn, it can do damage to the throat. I can see beverages that are very, very hot damaging the cells that line the esophagus. And they're saying that may be contributing to the cancer development. So based on the results of the review, Dr. Stern offers a word of advice when it comes to drinking hot beverages. You can enjoy your coffee. You can enjoy your mate. You can enjoy your tea. Just make sure it's not very hot. If they're saying 149 degrees Fahrenheit or hotter, maybe we should have ours 120 degrees or cooler. Yeah, don't even think about trying to get close to the edge. Okay, they said 149 degrees. I'm going to drink mine 138 degrees or 145. That's not 149. Can we get it hot enough at 120 or 125? Is that hot enough? So do we do that without, you know, burning our throats up? Dr. Anna Whiteman bringing this to us. Again, courtesy of Medical News Today. Appreciate it. And I truly want to encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, let's stop taking some of these risks. I mean, I think we've all come to the conclusion by now that it can often be much, much easier to make a mess than to clean up a mess. And if we are drinking stuff that's just sure enough too hot, too hot, too hot, and over the course of time, we end up damaging our esophagus, it's probably not going to be as easy to fix it as it was to damage it. So I would say, hey, we can get the best of both worlds. Have the drink hot, but not very hot, so that we get some of the heat that we're looking for without doing damage to our bodies. That might be the way to go. All right, let's talk about the middle class. How many of you really, really, I won't say take pride in, but take comfort in knowing you're just grateful for being a member of the middle class? How many of you have some concerns about how much longer you'll be a member of the middle class? I want to continue to share some information with you, some of my own interjections, but of course, some also, a lot of this information from Pew Research Center, taking a look at middle class. We've been hearing about the squeeze, and as I've shared with you before, Americans are not the only people who have folks in the middle class who are feeling the squeeze, who are being squeezed financially. Middle class people all over the world are being squeezed financially. So who is middle income? Well, in this report, middle income households are defined as those with income that is 67% to 200%, which is two-thirds to double the overall median household income after incomes have been adjusted for household size. Lower income households have incomes less than 67% of the median, and upper income households have incomes that are more than double the median. I'm going to be giving you some more numbers that are going to, you know, cause this to make more sense to you. Stay with me. The income that it takes to be middle income varies, as they're saying, by household size, with smaller households requiring less to support the same lifestyle as larger households. So for a three-person household, the middle income range was about $42,000 to $126,000 annually in 2014. But a one-person household needed only about $24,000 to $73,000 to be middle income. For a five-person household to be middle income, the 2014 income needed to range from $54,000 to $162,000. So you see the connection there between household size and middle income status. Let's look at this some more.